First case is Shatner versus Magruder, Spicer announced, as if a major antitrust trial was about to start.
Shatner is not here, Beach said.
Where is he?
Infirmary. Gallstones again. I just left there.
Hatley Beach was the third member of the tribunal. He spent most of his time in the infirmary because of hemorrhoids, or headaches or swollen glands. Beach was 56, the youngest of the three, and with 9 years to go, he was convinced he would die in prison. He'd been a federal judge in East Texas, a hard-fisted conservative who knew lots of scripture and liked to quote it during trials. He'd had political ambitions, a nice family, money from his wife's family's oil trust. He also had a drinking problem, which no one knew about until he ran over two hikers in Yellowstone. Both died. The car Beach had been driving was owned by a young lady he was not married to. She was found naked in the front seat, too drunk to walk. They sent him away for 12 years. Joe Roy Spicer, Finn Yarber, Hatley Beach, the Inferior Court of North Florida, better known as the Brethren around Trumbull, a minimum security federal prison with no fences, no guard towers, no razor wire. If you had to do time, do it the federal way, and do it in a place like Trumbull.
Should we default him?
Spicer asked Beach.
No, just continue until next week.
Okay, I don't suppose he's going anywhere.
I object to a continuance, Magruder said from the crowd.
Too bad, said Spicer. It's continued until next week.
Magruder was on his feet.
That's the third time it's been continued. I'm the plaintiff. I sued him. He runs to the infirmary every time we have a docket.
What are y'all fighting over?
Spicer asked.
$17 and two magazines,
T. Carl said helpfully.
That much, huh?
Spicer said. $17 would get you sued every time at Trumbull. Finn Yarber was already bored. With one hand, he stroked his shaggy gray beard, and with the other, he raked his long fingernails across the table. Then he popped his toes, loudly, crunching them into the floor in an efficient little workout that grated on the nerves. In his other life, when he had titles, Mr. Chief Justice of the California Supreme Court, he often presided while wearing leather clogs, no socks, so that he could exercise his toes during the dull oral arguments.
Continue it, he said.
Justice delayed is justice denied,
Magruder said solemnly.
Now that's original, said Beach.
One more week, then we'll default Shatner.
So ordered,
Spicer said with great finality. T. Carl made a note in the docket book. Magruder sat down in a huff. He'd filed his complaint in the inferior court by handing to T. Carl a one-page summary of his allegations against Shatner. Only one page. The Brethren didn't tolerate paperwork. One page, and you got your day in court. Shatner had replied with 6 pages of invective, all of which had been summarily stricken by T. Carl. The rules were kept simple. Short pleadings, no discovery, quick justice. Decisions on the spot and all decisions were binding if both parties submitted to the jurisdiction of the court. No appeals. There was nowhere to take one. Witnesses were not given an oath to tell the truth. Lying was completely expected. It was, after all, a prison.
What's next?
Spicer asked. T. Carl hesitated for a second, then said,
It's the Wiz case.
Things were suddenly still for a moment. Then the plastic cafeteria chairs rattled forward in one noisy offensive. The inmates scooted and shuffled until T. Carl announced,
That's close enough.
They were less than 20 feet away from the bench.
We shall maintain decorum,
he proclaimed. The Wiz matter had been festering for months at Trumbull. Wiz was a young Wall Street crook who'd bilked some rich clients. $4 million had never been accounted for, and legend held that Wiz had stashed it offshore and managed it from inside Trumbull. He had 6 years left and would be almost 40 when paroled. It was widely assumed that he was quietly serving his time until one glorious day when he would walk free, still a young man, and fly off in a private jet to a beach where the money was waiting. Inside, the legend only grew, partly because Wiz kept to himself and spent long hours every day studying financials and technical charts and reading impenetrable economic publications. Even the warden had tried to cajole him into sharing market tips. An ex-lawyer known as Rook had somehow got next to Wiz and had somehow convinced him to share a small morsel of advice with an investment club that met once a week in the prison chapel. On behalf of the club, Rook was now suing the Wiz for fraud. Rook took the witness chair and began his narrative. The usual rules of procedure and evidence were dispensed with, so that the truth could be arrived at quickly, whatever form it might take.